Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, December 22nd, 2020, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, There is a Solution in the Big Book. We're on page 24 and we're going to unpack today paragraph 1, and it begins with, the fact is that most alcoholics, and ends with against the first drink. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Audrey M.P., reading today for us The Traditions will be Robin P., and the support and reading of the text will be Shelley E., Jody E., again Robin P., if we need her, greeting newcomers and giving sponsor contact information will be Barbara W., and then announcements at the very end of the meeting will be Leslie M. Please stay with us for that entire meeting. You'll gain some information that will be important to you. The share ID numbers for the previous meetings yesterday is Monday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Big Book Study Meeting. That would be December 21st, 2020. It's 16,033. And then today we've already had a Big Book Study Meeting at the 7 a.m. hour Eastern Time, and that would be for December 22nd, 2020. That share ID number is 16038, 16038 will be the number for that. Those things are instrumental if you plan to use a telephone in order to be able to call to revisit this recording. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry that message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At the Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Audrey M.P. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Audrey, can you flip a quick star one?
Good morning. Good morning, Team Tuesday. This is Audrey M.P. I'm calling from Southern California. I'm a compulsive overeater. And these are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, and the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Audrey M.P. from California. I will now ask Robin P. to please read the 12 traditions of OA. She's from Mexico, or are you still in Costa Rica?
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, currently in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Oh!
The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop overeating. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, each OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never to be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks so much, I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin P. Now in Florida. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And I just want to always make a note here. This, pardon me, refers to the star 1 key function only as our source of muting in order to keep it disconnected from technology to keep the line nice and quiet from any kind of extraneous noises. I appreciate that consideration. And you might want to check your phone each time you're left unmuted. The service here mutes you automatically. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, There Is a Solution. We're on page 24 today. And at the very top, I'm going to unpack paragraph 1. It begins with, the fact is that most alcoholics, and ends with, against the first drink. And I'd like to ask Shelley E., please, to read that particular paragraph today and open us up by sharing her experience with the directions there, and then we'll open it up to the general population to comment on it as well. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Shelley E., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Northern Michigan. Sorry. Page 24. The fact is that most alcoholics, for reasons yet obscure, have lost the power of choice in drink. Our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. We are unable, at times, to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the suffering and humiliation of even a week or a month ago. We are without defense against the first drink. I was really excited that I had gotten this paragraph. And I'll state the first thing that we know, that because this is in italics, you know, it means it's very important. It costs more to have it printed that way, and it is more of a directive. And I have in my margin written, this is the actual ism of our disease. And I know for a fact that I definitely have lost the power of choice. And what I've learned is that my disease talks to me as a friend. It wants to come up to me, put its arm around me, and tell me it will make everything all better. And that voice, that disease is not my friend, but I have to really be wary because that is the way that it approaches me. And I'm grateful that I have been through the steps and learned when I hear that voice, I need to ask myself, I go to my checklist. What are the things that I can do? Go to my higher power. Then, am I living in 10, 11, and 12? Where is my program week? Have I reached out to somebody? Did something happen that might be in the back of my mind that I thought, meh, I don't really need to do a 10-step over that. I need to get my butt on the phone right then. So, because I'm not willing to go back to the times where I am living in a mental fog. I'm irritable. My family doesn't want me around. That miserable existence, having to see what looks like the strongest chair in the room that I can sit in. Am I going to have to ask for an extension on an airplane? I am not willing to go back to that. Living in a right-sized body is fantastic, and I'm grateful for it every day. And I'm grateful for my higher power that allows me to live that way. With that, I'll pass. I look forward to hearing everybody's shares.
Thank you very much, Shelley E. And Shelley's from Texas. Okay, so the lines are going to be open now for additional comments on the paragraph one on page 24. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And so if you shared on Friday or Monday, Wednesday would be the first day that you get a chance to share again, and we're looking forward to that for sure. But for now, I'd like to take your first name, the first initial of your last name, your state, so that folks can get a hold of you by finding you on our membership list, which has 8,100 members, by the way, and their contact information. But who would like to share on that paragraph today?
Roz G. in Palmdale, California.
Hi, Roz G.
Lorraine N. in Oregon.
Lorraine N. Hi, Lorraine.
Hi.
Evan R.
M., Arizona.
Evan R. Where did you say you were from, Evan?
California.
California. Great. Thanks. Hi.
Jana
Michelle
M. Arizona.
Colorado.
Jana N. from Arizona. Uh-huh.
Kathleen O.
Jordan
California.
L. Kathleen O, and I heard Jordan L. California, and then Jordan's from Colorado. Okay.
Sherry KB.
Let's go with that. Oh, hey, Sherry. Hey.
Hey.
And you're my California woman, too. Okay. Well, let's stop with that lineup, okay? And then we can refresh when we go around again with some folks. We'll mix up the match there. Okay, so this is what I have so far. Roz G, Lorraine N, Evan R, Jana M., Kathleen O., Jordan L., and Sherry KB. And we'll start this out with Roz. Good morning, Roz, from Palmdale, California.
Good morning, Melanie and everybody. Once again, I'm Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And, you know, I'm so grateful for this paragraph because it tells me that I can't remember all of the pain and suffering that I went through, that I would keep overeating again. I heard there were some very powerful messages on the first meeting this morning. So if you didn't listen to it, please go back and listen to it. And my stories are not as dramatic as others, but I have my own story, okay? So when I would go to look in, you know, I'd go to try on clothes, and I would look in the full-length mirror when I went to try on clothes. I'd get one size, and that size did not fit. That was my fantasy size. So I'd look at myself in the mirror. I'd be absolutely disgusted with myself. And then I'd go to the food court. I'm talking like, you know, you go to the mall, you try on clothes, then I'd go to the food court. So it's like, I looked at myself, I'm like, I have to lose weight. I'm going to lose weight. And then I go to the food court and eat junk food and trying on a dress for my friend's wedding. I was her matron of honor. And I remember I picked this pretty little dress and she goes, "Roz, I think you're a full-figured gal." And she meant that with such kindness. And I was so freaking embarrassed, okay? And then the surgeries that I had, you know, I'm an over-exerciser. I'm an exercise bulimic, I believe. And I want, you know, to get rid of all the food that I ate. I'd go and exercise and put the gym above everything else. And I hurt my arm and got surgery. I hurt my foot and got surgery. And the surgery still didn't even stop me from continuing to overeat and then wanting to over-exercise again. It was the voice of God, you know, like one of those light bulb moments that said to me, "What are you doing? Do you want to have an arm?" But this paragraph says to me, I don't have the memory. We don't have the memory. I'm beyond human aid. I need a spiritual solution, one beyond my mind, one beyond any diet, any doctor, any person. And that is a connection with a power greater than myself. And God has separated me from chocolate for almost 2 years. And that was one of the, thank you, my favorite foods is chocolate. And I haven't had it in over 2 years because I remember what it was like because God shows me, brings that memory back to me. So I don't want to take any more time. I pass. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Roz G. from Palmdale, California. Next up is Lorraine N. from Oregon. And then Evan R. will follow Lorraine, and he's from California. Hey, Lorraine.
Hey, good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. Wow, yes, there were powerful shares on the early meeting, which kind of prompted me and inspired me to share on this powerful paragraph, which I have bracketed, underlined, and little stars in the column, all different colors. So, yeah, this is an important paragraph to me. The whole book is, but for reasons yet obscure, right? That was a big relief to me. Because I didn't have to try to figure it out anymore. I didn't have to ask the question why, which I asked myself for decades, why I couldn't stop, why I kept hurting myself with food, losing days of my life, being sick and tired and angry and sad and not showing up for life, my life or anyone else's. Very, very sad way to live a life that I've been given. Yeah, I had lost the power of choice in food, lost it, gone, no power, without defense. You know, I must have no lurking notion that I am ever going to have power over this disease. So, this is about step one to me and my powerlessness as an addict. I am an addict. That took me until a few months ago to accept that. I have been addicted to everything, but my primary addiction was food. And then I got addicted to drugs and a bunch of other stuff trying to control my food. So I didn't see myself as an addict. An addict to me was some poor guy in the alley nodding out that I stepped around when I worked in Boston. You know, that was an addict. You know, I certainly wasn't that pathetic person. And, but, you know, when I'm in a binge, that's exactly what I look like. I nod out, I cry, I have food and I'm spilled all over me and wherever I'm sitting, it's, you know, and I'm still stuffing more food in my mouth. I cannot stop on my own power. No human power can relieve this addiction that I have. So what do? I have to go to God. I had to start cultivating a relationship with a power that I did not believe in or trust when I first got here. And but I did. I got a sponsor. She worked with me through the big book. And I just kept cultivating this relationship that I didn't totally trust. And eventually the trust came. So today, to the best of my ability, yes, I try to live in step 10, 11, and 12. And I, you know, continued to do this by studying this book, and mainly attending meetings, having a sponsor, working with other women. Thank you. You know, prayer, meditation, all the actions we take every day to expand and grow our spiritual life. And that, for me, is what this program is about, expanding and grow. And I don't do it perfectly. And I'm eternally grateful that I can study this book together with all of you every day and try to live a better life. So thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much. That's Lorraine N. from Oregon. And we are studying paragraph 1, page 24 of the big book. If you're just coming in with us this morning, you might want to take a peek at that in order to be able to share. In the meantime, let's listen to what Evan R. has in terms of his experience with that particular paragraph. Evan R. from California, and then Jana will follow you.
Hi, Evan R. here, Southern California, recovered compulsive reader. Very grateful for this meeting. I wish I could personally thank all of you, just how much it's helped me. Especially this year, it's been the silver lining of the quarantine. But in terms of this paragraph, I was thinking, I can only speak for myself, but, you know, when I first started, I could remember the pain of, you know, compulsively eating. I just couldn't stop. But it was once I, and this because I've been in the program 6 years, and I'm coming up on 1 year of continuous abstinence. So I would get a few months, and then all of a sudden I would forget, like, oh, I could have this food, or, you know, oh, I can count all my calories obsessively, or, you know, compulsive food behaviors. And then slowly I would start to slip, and then boom, I'd binge. And I had been like caught in that cycle. And it really was only, you know, once I started to understand for me that it's the food, but also it's the mental obsession about the food. You know, I heard this was yesterday, people were talking about waking up and thinking about food and planning your meals. Like, for me, that's just as compulsive as binging. And I've been doing that since I was a little kid. So it's very habitual. And for me, the solution has really been service. And I was thinking about, like, you know, how do you get motivated to come to the meetings? And part of it is just the people that I work with. And I think early on, it was also pain and suffering. But now, as I'm more well-versed in the big book and things, you know, the motivation is to feel good. And I feel great doing the things that are outlined in the book. And you know, I'm actually enjoying working with people, something I never thought that would ever happen. So that's actually been a blessing. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Evan R. from California. Next up is Jana M. from Arizona, and then Kathleen O. will follow Jana. Good morning, Jana. Come right in. Not able to hear you just now, Jana. If you want to hang up and dial back in, maybe that'll recalibrate your phone if you're having trouble unmuting. And then in the meantime.
Can I be heard now?
You can now. You betcha. Way to go. Way to persevere.
I'm so sorry. But, hey, you're going to any lengths here, right? Good morning, visionaries. Good morning, Team Tuesday. Thank you so much for your service. This is Jana M., a recovering compulsive overeater in Phoenix, Arizona. The fact is that, you know, I have lost the choice in food. You know, I've done a lot of drugs, a lot of drinking, been addicted to a lot of different things, been a hard user of different substances. And I had choice with all of them. You know, I had a choice. I was able to stop all of those things kind of on my own. But food is not my drug of choice. You know, although it has a drug-like effect, it is my drug of no choice. I have no choice when it comes to food. And even though I can remember the pain that food causes, you know, the weight gain, you know, I have probably over 100 pounds to lose at this point, the pain in my joints, just not able to show up in any area of my life. You know, even though I'm aware of that stuff, you know, I know who I am today. I am a real compulsive overeater, which means I have a physical allergy, a mental obsession, and a spiritual malady. Well, that mental obsession thing, you know, my problem isn't actually with food, it's with life. Like life is just so overwhelming for me. I'm so overwhelmed so easily. And food, when I eat it, those first few bites, I get this feeling of like, oh, it's like my entire being just exhales. And that feeling, that sense of relief, that pressure relief, my mental obsession fixates on that. It just blots everything else out. Yeah, I know it's going to cause me pain. Yeah, I know it's going to be weight gain. Yeah, I know I'm going to have to pay for this later, but damn it, I want relief right now. I want that. Oh, that's my mental obsession. And that's what drives me back into the food each time, you know. And we're going to learn, you know, as we continue the reading into the next page that, you know, if you are a real compulsive overeater, you don't have choices. You have alternatives. You know, one is to either be in the food and just deal with that misery, or to be in the steps and to accept spiritual help. I'm either in recovery or I'm in disease, and there's not a middle of the road solution for me. And I'm just so grateful that today I know that that's true for me, because I know who I am. I really am a true compulsive overeater, and I took the time to learn about that in my step one and two and three work and in the doctor's opinion. So, you know, really coming to understand, you know, my condition has
kind of
helped me make better choices and choose to live in recovery versus disease. So thanks for letting me share, and with that I'll pass.
Thank you, Jana M. from Arizona. Kathleen O. from California, you're next, and then Jordan will follow you. Good morning.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. Oh, such a great paragraph. We are unable at times to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force the memory of suffering and humiliation even a week or a month ago. And, you know, this is the definition of that built-in forgetter. It's why I couldn't keep the weight off when I was occasionally successful in losing weight on a diet. And the sentence, at certain times, you know, these certain times are what made things even more baffling, because sometimes I would remember. But the truth is, 99% of the time, I wouldn't remember the pain that would come after I took that bite. And it's also why when I would be in the food on any given day, that it was okay, because I'd lie to myself and say, oh, I'll get back on tomorrow. Well, you know what, tomorrow sometimes would turn into years. So the best place to be is knowing I can't stop no matter what I know or what I do. And how do I stay in that spot? It's by working these steps and following the directions. You know, what if you did have a loving and peaceful relationship with food? I didn't think that was possible, but it can happen. You know, but what I learned was, due to this broken forgetter, I could either eat myself to death or I could accept spiritual help. So there is a solution to putting the food down and keeping it down, you know, to quieting the mind about thinking about food constantly, of feeling horrible, because once I started, I couldn't stop and I needed help. I'm 100% undisciplined. I'm disciplined in many ways, but when it comes to food, I have absolutely no control. And I had to find a power greater than myself. I had to live in, you know, I have to daily live in steps 10, 11, 12. And truthfully, the easy part was putting the food down. You know, once that food's down and the mental obsession is quieted, daily I have to rely on my higher power and constantly ask for freedom from self-will. You know, I have to pause throughout the day when I'm upset or someone isn't following my script, and remember that I do not run the show. You know, thy will be done. I have to say that over and over again. So, you know, I can choose the food, which is misery and hell, or I can choose working these steps, taking this action. It's work, but the result is a clear mind and a healthy body, and that feels really good. So there is a solution to all this crazy, and it works, and I tell you, it feels so much better to not be thinking about food all day and just be staying connected with my spiritual work, my higher power. And thank you, all of you, because I couldn't do it without you. And I pass.
Thank you, Kathleen O. from California. Kathleen O. was just commenting on the compelling paragraph on page 24 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's paragraph 1. If you want to get ready, in about 6 minutes or so, I'm going to open up the lines for additional comments on that particular paragraph. But in the meantime, we're going to hear from Jordan L. from Colorado, and then Sherry KB will follow her. Hi, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Mel. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado. I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting with you guys today. Man, when I came into Overeaters Anonymous in 2012, I was so powerful. I could move mountains. I was the heaviest I had ever been. I had at least 100 pounds to lose. But I was powerful. Like I was going to figure out how it was that I could do that, you know? This disease caused me a lot of suffering early on in life as a teenager and a young adult. And there was a lot of humiliation. And there was a lot of sweet promises that I made to myself and those around me about how it was that I was going to get my act together. And I got to be honest, I really meant it, you know, like it wasn't a defect of character by any means. I really meant it when I said those things. I really, really did. and when I came in here, I was gonna figure it out. I was powerful and I was going to sort my way through this. And I'm really glad that was the experience I had, because over the next 5 years of trying to figure this out on my own, I got really, really clear about how powerless it is that I am. So when I came back in 2017, it didn't take me long. There were no illusions of some sort of power of choice. I wasn't arguing with my sponsor about my food plan. I wasn't arguing with my nutritionist about portion sizes and stuff like that. Like I was really, really clear about the fact that I was completely and totally screwed. completely and totally screwed. And the only thing I had was what you guys were telling me, was that like a spiritual answer had had given you the power needed to arrest this. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thanks a lot, Jordan L. from Colorado. Sherry KB from California, she's up next. So get ready, though, after that 3 minutes or so, we'll continue on with additional shares for about 4 more people to share for that compelling paragraph on page 24, paragraph 1. Hey, Sherry KB.
Good morning, Melanie.
Good morning to you.
Mm-hmm. Good morning to you. Thanks for your service and Team Tuesday. Very grateful compulsive overeater from Northern California. This is one of my favorite paragraphs because I never want to forget this paragraph because I do have a built-in forgetter. You know, I used to hear the word the ism, which meant I sponsored myself, but for this paragraph, it's an incredibly short memory is what I have here. It's like having amnesia. It's like that mental blank spot that I've heard about. Like there's the mental twist, the mental blank spot, and they gang up against the intellect and get me to believe that it'll be different this time or that I don't have this disease or, you know, that built-in forgetter that everybody talks about. I've experienced that so much in my disease that my disease is not my friend. Just like my ego is not my friend, because I think part of my disease is my ego. I'm learning that a lot lately. And that, you know, part of my disease will convince me that I can do this thing, that it's not that bad. It's amazing how cunning, baffling, and powerful this disease is, and that I am without the first defense against the first bite, and that it's as if I go into amnesia. What I also like is the answer for me because of this is on page 34, where it talks about that if I'm a true compulsive overeater, I'm going to always have that built-in forgetter. So I need God, and without God, I can't do this, that I will never have any defense without God's help in the 12 steps. That's what it's telling me here. And I can just tell you time after time after time the things that happened to me for having that built-in forgetter. And, you know, another thing that I've been learning recently, too, is that my disease likes it when I'm in fear. And I've had that aha moment lately that I realized that I forget that my disease is not my friend, that wants to convince me that there's so many things differently that goes on between my ears, let alone taking that first bite, let alone taking the first emotional bite with anything, and obviously the food, but also that emotional component as well. And I just know that I need to never forget. That's why I have to stay in this book. That's why I got to stay connected to God. That's why I have to live in 10, 11, 12. That's why I have to take people through the big book. That's why I have to go through the big book, because my disease wants me to forget I have this disease. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Sherry KB from California. Okay, you're going to find us on page 24 today, unpacking paragraph 1. That beautifully influential paragraph italicized begins with the fact that most alcoholics and ends with against the first drink. Although we do value and cherish your experience, we ask that you do limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well this morning. And I have room for about 4 people to comment on that paragraph today. I'd love to get your first name, the first initial of your last name, and your state, please.
Larry G.
Colorado.
Robin P.
I heard Larry D. from California, and I heard Robin P., and I heard Michelle, and I heard Connie. Let me see what I got here. I heard you, Nadia, but I think I got somebody else before them. So let me see. I have Larry G. from California, Robin P., who lives in Mexico. Michelle, where are you from?
Colorado.
From Colorado, and that's Michelle M.C., is that what you said?
Yes.
And then Connie, where are you from, please?
Connie T. from Pennsylvania.
Connie T. from Pennsylvania. That's it. And if there's more, I'll open up it again. But for now, let's head it out with Larry G. from California, and then Robin P. Sorry for the others.
Good morning, Larry G. from California. Thank you, Melanie, and all others who make this call possible, and to all of you beautiful visionaries on this call today. My name is Larry G. I am from California. Oh my God. This could possibly for me be the most important paragraph in the big book. It says here that I can't bring into consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the suffering and humiliation of even a week or a month ago. This paragraph is proof to me that I have a neurological disease, a disorder. I have a brain disorder. I cannot remember with sufficient force the memory and suffering humiliation of even a week or a month. And for me, it became a day. Came in the program 17th, on May 15th, I had a 40,000 calorie binge. I was so sick on Saturday. Oh my God, folks. I thought I'd have to go to the hospital. And I had some of the best. If I could have got my Frothy Emotional Peels on CD, they would have been a bestseller. They would have been right up there with any revivalist, up there with Tony Robbins. Man, I was going to change the world. And on Sunday, by Sunday evening, I was on the couch after three dinners. I told myself, I'm a goner. And that's when I came into Visions. We were reading from the Visions. Bill and Bob were 12-stepping Bill. And that's what he said. I'm a goner. If I leave this hospital, I'm gonna be a goner. And I fell as a goner. And that's with 26 years and Overeaters Anonymous. I never saw this. In Silkworth, he talks about the alcoholic suffers the torture, the suffering, because her body of the alcoholic is quite as abnormal as mine. And now this ties in. Now, if Bill would have put this in the very beginning, I would not even would have just blown past it. So here's proof that I don't have sufficient force to recall even a day ago of suffering, humiliation. On yesterday, my wife has been very ill. She's got tested for COVID. Find out today. Been very ill, and I'm scared, very scared. And she's a principal. She brought home a basket of mandarin oranges. Now, what's wrong with a mandarin orange? It's just a little orange, a little thin skin orange, really delicious around holidays.
Time.
Well, I'll share that another day and what's wrong with that and why I have a neurological disease. And I didn't have that orange because you guys were with me. Thank you very much. I pass.
Thank you very much, Larry G. from California. Next up is Robin P. from Mexico, and then Michelle M.C. from Colorado will follow. Hi, Robin.
Hi. Thanks so much, Mel, for your service, always. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater currently in West Palm Beach, Florida. And, you know, I'm so completely powerless, and no matter what human will I have tried to use in all my affairs, it has come up short. And the choice, that ironic word, and there was no choice. There was Russian roulette. There was, how did this happen again? I didn't see this coming. And I've had that in many areas of my life. And I just, the only power that can heal me and transform my life is God. And with the help and support of my fellows, it's this program. And we went through a very traumatic experience with my manufacturer of my most recent invention, and took money and didn't send anything. And I am refunding all of our backordered customers, and it's excruciatingly painful. And it's the most painful thing I've gone through in recovery. And I just can only lean on God. And that illusion that I have a choice in any of my affairs right now is an illusion. And I just get to, I can't, God can, and I'll let him in all of my affairs. God bless everybody. I ask for prayer, and God bless everybody. It was a very abstinent, blessed day, and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much. Robin P. from Mexico. Michelle M.C. from Colorado, you're next, and then Connie will follow you. Hi, Michelle.
Hello. Michelle M.C., Colorado, recovered. I have lost the power of choice. No human solution, no pill, no diet, no injection, no surgery. I had bariatric surgery, and I still was eating compulsively and vomiting. I was eating compulsively small bits of sugar all day long while I'm trying to give anesthetics to people. My blood sugar was dropped horribly. I would be confused. I didn't know where I was. No human power can change this for me. And I have lived with the whip and shame of compulsive overeating, and I do not do that anymore because I follow one day at a time what works. Deprivation is a lie. I had to stop my alcoholic foods, which was painful, and I had stopped before, but I'd never stayed stopped. Now I do. because I have the idea that it had to move from my head that I had this problem to my heart and my gut. And now when I follow what I've said and laid out so beautifully in this book, follow what my sponsor tells me to do, follow a nutritional food plan, I don't live there anymore. I'm getting better day by day. People, I'm not shooting myself in the foot because I'm a raging maniac, because my blood sugar's up and down. And it's through this program. It may have taken me 6 decades to get here, but I'm here now. And I'm ever so grateful for what this program has given me. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Michelle. MC from Colorado. Next up is Connie T. And Connie T is from Pennsylvania. Hey.
Hey, Melanie. Thank you for your service. This is Connie T, recovered, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from South Central Pennsylvania. And I don't share real often on this, but it's just like I can just feel, you know, all the shares, all the love and the miracles that I'm hearing today. And I'm one of them. I spent 35 years from the age of 17 to 52, I'd say, doing all the diets that we all have probably done, shots, pills, going to shady doctors, having things put in my body I didn't even know what they were, and I didn't care. And I remember I would get migraine headaches that were so bad that I would be in bed with my head in ice because I had to freeze my head to not feel the pain. And I would swear up and down I would never, ever do this again. And they were brought on mostly by the food I was eating. And I would swear I wouldn't, and I believed it because I wanted to die. I mean, I wasn't suicidal, but I just didn't care if I woke up. I just wanted to die. The pain was so bad. And, of course, after a day or two, it would go away, and within the week, I'd be doing it again. I mean, the fact that I have no mental defense, none at all, I don't know if I totally forgot. I guess I did. It wasn't bad enough because I thought, this is so bad. I'll never do this again because I just wanted to die. The pain was so bad. But yet here I'd be doing it back again. And I just wanted to share, you know, now, and this happened, I've been in OA about 6 years, but about 2.5 or so years ago, I literally woke up one day and it had sunk into the innermost self. The big book tells us it has to be in our innermost self that we know what we are. I always thought I knew what I was, you know, and I was like maybe 90% in, 95% in. But I didn't even know it at the time. I was holding out this one little tiny shred of hope, one little tiny, tiny little shred that maybe someday things would be different. And when I woke up this one morning and I knew it with everything I had that this is what I was, and then I knew. It was a relief, actually. It was like, okay, now you have two choices. You either go on to the bitter end or you take the, you know, you recover because there's other people. And Vision has been such an influence in my recovery to hear all the people on the line saying they're recovered and to read the big book and see that it says we can recover, not get cured and recover. And I am one of those miracles. And it's been about 2.5 years now. And I just wanted to share, I'm not sure what my time is, but I had a dream the other night that I picked up and was eating food that I shouldn't be eating. And my daughter was in the dream and she was so shocked because she hasn't seen me eat this stuff in years. She's like, Mom, what are you doing? And in my dream, I said, that's okay. I'll get right back on it tomorrow. And as I'm saying that in my dream, my mind is telling me, no, you won't. You know you're done. And that to me just proves it really is in my innermost self because I can't even fool myself in a dream. Even in my dreams, I'm telling myself that that's a lie. So anyhow, I thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Connie T. from Pennsylvania. And that will end the sharing part of our meeting for today, but we're not done. We still have some more to go after we stop the recording. But let's button up this part of the recorded meeting and by having Jody E. read page 164 from the big book, and then we'll say the Serenity Prayer together, if you'd so care to do that. And then we'll move on to the last 10 minutes of our meeting, getting newcomer information, sponsor, contact information, and hearing some announcements. So let's begin. Hey, Jody, would you please read page 164? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
I sure will. Thank you so much for the opportunity. My name is Jody E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until